It's Wednesday, so that means we talk agriculture with the experts from Brandt's. Joining us today, technical agronomist Ed Corrigan with Brandt's. And Ed, I can't think of a more ideal time to have you on, because a week ago we were in need of rain. We've gotten rain. Has that created any problems that you're concerned about for the next week or so, or maybe to finish out this crop?
So the additional rain really kind of assisted the crop to get a hold of some of this nutrition to really push it through the pollination stage in regards to corn. And of course, the soybean has been going through some blooming. It's usually right now we're looking at R2 to R3, so we're just starting to form those pods. And this is really, really valuable to get this rain, start pushing some nutrition in. It does create a little bit of difficulty in the plants because we get so much nutrition moving nutrients around, and they start luxury feeding on a lot of the nitrogen that was pulled up to the surface of the soil. Now it's become available to the plant as it pushed that rain pushed that into the ground out of that top inch of soil. And so that ends up making micronutrients and some of those things much more deficient in a balanced ration. But in the long run, we needed the rain, and this is really, really positive. This is almost a 2007 crop year exactly, given the type of weather we've had to date.
Obviously, I would think there would be some concern in terms of nitrogen and these saturated fields. We've been that way now for several days. Are you at all concerned about loss of nitrogen?
So we will blow off nitrogen into the air on the fields that are really, really saturated. And that, you know, is going to be spot to spot. We'll have little areas potentially in a field. It kind of depends on how that lays. But it only takes, we lose about, if it's waterlogged, we have water standing, it'll blow off as much as 10 pounds, 15 pounds of N per day up as N2 gas, as those biologicals start to try and grab that oxygen off the nitrogen molecule. And so then it frees that up as N2 gas blows off in the air. We can lose huge amounts. And that is really one of the critical things that we can't answer totally across the field. You just have to have that sense of whether that field, how long it was standing, but we've got the soil temperatures that will allow that to very quickly blow off.
So at this point, would you consider that most of there's enough out there, if people put it on particularly last fall because it was such a good fall, that we've got enough to get us through and make for a big crop?
I really do, and here's the thinking. And of course, you know, it looks like to me locally that first 4 inches of rain, if you had 4 inches of rain, the ground took a lot of that very, very well. It just soaked it right up, had very little loss going down the streams and creeks. But then it was the next 2 or 3 or 4 or, you know, 7 inches, depending on how much additional rain, that really created the problem for this drainage issue that we're talking about, or water logging. When we see that nitrogen from when we put it on last fall or this spring and we had dry enough soils, that actually kept that in a very stable area up in the surface of the soils and really had very, very little loss. We've seen very, very good response to the colors of the plants and what's going on in our zero nitrogen plots or in different rates of N that we apply at the research farm. So I really think we're in excellent shape, and now it really is going to be these waterlogged fields. And at Plains, for example, we've gotten 6.5 inches of rain so far, and I still have yet to see a pond out there anywhere, even in the normal areas that we get ponds. So it's going to be just those circumstances where maybe the river came out, something of that nature that ponded over it. But I think we're in very, very good shape for N. It's going to be other mobile elements. Molybdenum, very important for the soybean nodularization. Corn, also utilizes molybdenum, and that is one of the key things that we're going to need to focus on, as well as boron.
I think you were one of the first, and then since, when we've been doing these interviews, since I've heard other agronomists use the term mineralization for nitrogen and organic nitrogen, I guess, for maybe a lack of better term. Are we set up for a good response in that regard?
Excellent. When we have these dry, fractured soils that we've had over the last 2 months, and the crop, you know, just barely had enough moisture. We had some down deep, thank goodness. When we have that fracturing, that oxygen stimulates the soil down deeper where the moisture is and gets those biologicals really running. And so then when we get this moisture coming in and we've got the temperatures, now we've created an environment where we're going to get a really good amount of mineralization out of those biologicals, as long as it wasn't so dry that it actually stopped the production of those biologicals in the surface. So it once again will kind of come back to how much plant tissue was above ground protecting that soil, you know, before the rains. And in a lot of cases, our cornfields were fine. They looked really good from going down the highway. Our soybean fields, some of those may have been pretty heavy on residue and pretty heavy on or light on green tissue and root growth. That may take a little while for those. So those bean fields may still take a little time to get going, but the first planted beans, first planted corn, I think those are going to be just fine with the weather that we've had.
And with the weather we've had, I think a lot of people suggest that you start to get the rootworm hatch when you see the lightning bugs. Could this drown out? And for those who maybe, you know, have kind of backed away because of a lack of presence of rootworms, maybe help destroy some of those?
So it'll help in some of these areas. But once again, you know, we haven't had this flooding in a heavy, and those rootworms, they actually, as they hatch, are vulnerable to this water. Once they get any size to them, they're going to quickly move to a root, move into that root, and therefore they're kind of protected, if you will, from really getting damaged by that excess amount of water. They'll go ahead and be able to survive quite well. So we're probably a little bit on the late side. We've had rootworm hatch going on for about 3 weeks now. That tells me that we're probably not going to limit those, but in most cases, we're not having a heavy rootworm hatch to begin with, from what I can see. We are getting to a situation now where we move from problems with spider mites being a problem to now Japanese beetles. Japanese beetles have started devouring the top of some of the soybean plants, the larger beans in an area. So the growers that planted their beans very, very early will want to keep a very close eye on those.
And one of the things, I guess, to my age tells me how old I am, but plant height on corn. I was surprised to start seeing some tassels in corn that were planted like the, say, the fourth week of April. Are the corn plants going to be shorter than normal this year, and does that have any impact on, in your opinion, yield?
So they will be shorter, and that'll actually hopefully gives us the opportunity to, when plants are shorter like that, we always see that the root systems are in better shape. They'll actually go down and put more into the roots, and that was partly due to the cold temperatures and how slow the spring kind of evolved, that we are getting these shorter nodes at the bottom of the plant, and that is actually setting us up for higher yields rather than the opposite. So that's actually a great thing, and we tend to have a little bit more girth to the stalks, and that all in all is a positive to have shorter plants planted early and growing slow.
And I guess as I mentioned, of course, the tassels were getting really close, are we not, to the timing for application of fungicides? And with this damp weather, will that be even more imperative as far as enhancing yield?
So The newer fungicides, in my opinion, mean that we can go out even a week prior to tassel and start covering those plants. Those leaves are formed, and we can get those leaves coated well with the fungicide to protect against disease. But it also really enhances the value of the fungicide to assist it through these cloudy days like today, where we're not getting huge amounts of sunshine. That fungicide is really assisting to make the solar sunshine that we do get more valuable. And secondarily, the foliage staying wet for long periods of time is going to drive disease. When we have these dry spells that the corn went through, it's going to be low on potassium because it is supposed to have, the last month, been taking up huge amounts of K, and that was not available during these dry terms, as well as things like iron. Iron is really valuable to the plant to help fight off and defend itself against disease. When we have dry weather, we have low amounts of iron, low amounts of K in the plant, and that is going to allow these diseases to be very rampant in the gray leaf and the cicospora and soybeans. That is something that will really see a huge value to fungicides this year, well beyond, just the normal assistance with slowing down the growth of the plant to take in all these good sunshine rays.
I know that, of course, a lot of people suggest, and as you mentioned, the Japanese beetle. Do you like using insecticide with the fungicides? And then I think maybe more importantly, your research would indicate some various micronutrient package, whether we're talking soybeans or corn.
That's right. The insecticides have always been one of the things that has been a huge partner. Once you apply a thing like a fungicide or a micronutrient, that corn plant or soybean plant starts to really grow, and it'll actually give off some hormones that they are doing very well. The insects sense that, and the more growthy the plants are, they will move towards those if they are a mobile insect like a beetle, Japanese beetle, or a rootworm beetle. They'll be mobile within a mile or two, so they'll sense that and move in. And if you don't have an insecticide there to kind of fend that off, you will start to see some real yield loss just due to creating an environment. So the insecticides are a great thing. You talk about micronutrients. We have a micronutrient that has been very, very valuable, the Smart BMO, which is boron and molybdenum, that really helps to assist the soybean plant with nodulization, and it also really assists the corn plant with the amount of kernel set, the amount of length of time that you have to pollinate from the silking in the ear. It's very, very valuable to the corn plant. It's right now our boron levels, typically in this growth stage, just before tassel, will start to drop in the corn plant. Dr. Fred Belo's work has really documented that very well. We put some of that Smart BMO on. That really solves that issue of deficiency. But it also, we have a new addition to BMO. We take Smart BMO and add potassium to it. And it's called Smart KB. And that product is actually one that is winning, especially in a year like this where we've got these dry soils, low amounts of K moved into the plants, whether it be corn or beans. Beans are taking up huge amounts of K now that they're reaching this R3 stage. So that new product will be something that will be head and shoulders above everything else that we could do out there.
Well, I could keep going on and on. I always love getting your expertise. But let me wrap up by asking, I guess in some cases I would say I have been more impressed with some of the looks of some of the early planted beans, maybe more so than the corn. Is one of the two crops that you're more excited about what the yield potential are on right now?
So they're both very exciting looking, where we've got different planting dates. And I'm like you, Roger, I think the earlier the beans were planted this year, they seem to be handling that very well. And they're a darker green. They're really starting to fill the rows today. That is giving us the concept that that nodulization is really strong. And now they're going to have the moisture to be able to pull in the potassium on the bean, where the corn really, it pulls in 90% of its K bitassel. So it kind of missed that nick of moisture when it really needed it to help pull potassium into the plant. The soybean plants now are going to be really able to get a hold of a lot of potassium. So it's going to be the micronutrients that really are the starving factor on those beans. I really like the potential for bean yields to really be good for early planted this year.
Yeah, because a lot of those have been blooming now for, what, 3 weeks or better?
That's correct. It was back about the first day of June that they started flowering, and that is about a two-week, three-week window ahead of normal. And each week we can add a good 5-6 bushel per acre. So we're about 15 bushel ahead of the average by getting those blooming earlier. And now we get some size to them, and we start to fill those pods with all this additional nutrition. The soybean plant has to manufacture about 400 to 500 pounds of N per acre, and those nodules need to have this moisture, and they will luxury feed off that mineralization just like the corn.
Well, as always, appreciate the expertise, and golly, like I say, looks pretty good in this part of Illinois.
It really does. As long as you're not in a river bottom somewhere, we're set for a pretty good crop. Hopefully the weather continues to work with us, and we don't end up with some hail or winds before we're done.
And again, our thanks to Ed Corrigan, technical agronomist with Brandt's, as we talk agriculture with the experts from Brandt's. And boy, today the timing could not have been better. With that, we wrap up today's program.